All right, so it's recording on that end. We're just waiting for the video. Good on that end? All right, good, good, good. All right, hello, hello, hello. We're getting into another episode of the Mental Threats Podcast. That would make you episode 184. I have my guest right here, Oreo the Sage, if you'd like to speak. Yes. Oreo the Sage is an artist from Charlotte, North Carolina. Are you originally from Charlotte, North Carolina?
No, Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, New Yorkers are just populating here so much so. But how long have you been living in Charlotte?
I think in a few days, it's going to be 7 months.
7 months? Oh, wow. So you ain't even been here a whole year. Okay.
Nah.
And you're already tapped in with the music scene.
Somehow.
That's dope. That's really, really dope. How long have you been doing music, Mr. Sage?
4 years.
4 years. Okay, okay. All right. And why the name Oreo the Sage?
Well, everyone calls me Oreo.
Okay.
And that just kind of stuck with me. But I'm also a nerd who loves anime.
Oh.
So if you ever watch a show called Naruto, you have
the sages. Oh, yes, I love Naruto.
Like, you got the sage of Sick Patch, the snake sage, the frog sage. I'm just I'm the Oreo sage. Like, what's up?
So you just be killing Oreos, you be summoning Oreos and shit?
Hell yeah.
Just fucking to go with some Oreos.
I swear to God. Nah, I be splashing niggas. I be like,
Okay, so basically, like, being a sage is like you just kind of see it as like a pinnacality, like, you know, it's just like being at the top of your game type.
Yeah.
Like, okay, yeah, I respect it. Cause, like, I have a friend in Raleigh who's also Liberian as well and everything. And his name, he goes by the name of Kuruma the Sage and everything, which is like,
hey, shout out.
He's actually a producer mostly, but he also is an artist doing his own music as well. I feel like y'all would all mess up too. Because he's like, he loves Naruto and anime as well.
Right.
And everything. So it's just like, it's pretty dope. Medium and everything. Like, anime is some shit, though.
It was so fucking fire.
You get
bro.
So immersed in that world and everything. So you grew up during the time of Toonami and everything.
Hell
like that?
Yeah. Right. Every, was it Sunday? No, it was Saturday.
It was Saturday night. No, it was Friday night, or was it? Like, kind of around the end. Like, you know, it must have been Saturday.
Yeah. It was Saturday night, right after they play the first two, like Adult Swim shows, then they switched to Toonami, and I'm like, hell yeah.
Uh-huh, yeah. Back in the day, though, I think it was, like, before Toonami. I mean, before Adult Swim, though. Like, right before Adult Swim, they would put on, like, Toonami. And I mean, that's when they had, like, I remember, like, they had Naruto, they had Yu Yu Hakusho, they had Dragon Ball Z.
They had Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yeah. Yu-Gi-Oh, I remember Yu-Gi-Oh being mostly a WB type of thing and everything.
Let's be honest, it was everywhere.
Yeah, and Yu-Gi-Oh! GX was on Cartoon Network, I recall. Yeah, I remember catching on Cartoon Network as well.
100%. And everything.
Yeah, but Naruto, that was a dope-ass. I love Naruto.
Who doesn't like Naruto?
Yeah, but then it's just, I don't know. Like, my high points in Naruto growing up was, like, definitely the Chunin exams and everything. That was dope. Yeah, when Rock Lee was showing up and everything.
Ooh, he dropped the weights.
Sometimes I wouldn't even, like, watch the whole series from the beginning. I just go straight to that, and I'll just start watching it from that. Because
that is arguably one of the best fights in anime, period.
Yes,
because he fucked up Gaara so bad, the quote-unquote untouchable.
Yes.
Once he dropped them weights, Gaara turned his head. He was like, what?
No, everybody was hating on him so bad. It's
I swear.
Like, why would he bring weights? That's so dumb. Like, why would he bring that? It's like, what, you didn't get your little some weights? It's going to make some.
Then he wait for that whole four foot drop and that big ass dust cloud. You're like, oh, nah. He's serious. Geez.
Yeah, and then he's with super speed and everything. Yeah, dude, they did Rock Lee so dirty in the damn series.
I swear to God, bro.
I saw him as, like, the third man. Like, after, like, you know, Naruto and Sasuke, I feel like he had the biggest resolve.
100% a person without chakra, and he's working his ass off to still be a ninja. He became one of the fucking top...
Taijutsu experts, yeah, that's what he wanted to be.
But like top one or no, guy got first. The top second spot of best Taijutsu users on Earth in that universe, and no one can touch him. And don't give this motherfucker a bottle of Henny, because that motherfucker will put you through pennies and nails.
Yeah,
it is so sad the way he did Kamimaru. Oh my God, I was like, ain't no way. He is flexing.
He had his moment, and that was the last big moment he had and everything. Like, damn, at least let him fuck up like an Akatsuki member or something.
Exactly, bro.
Like, y'all gave it to Sakura. Like, come on.
And they also gave it to fucking God. which, you know, that shit was funny because he boxed the fuck out of Kasame.
Kasame basically killed himself, but it's just like, you know. Like,
yeah, he bitched. He bitch made for real. We can't fuck with me. We can't fuck with him like that. Like, because hell nah. Yeah, you got to take that L with resolve, nah. Okay?
It's like, you know, but even Shikamaru killed one of the Akatsuki. It was like, that was earned because, like, he was avenging Asuma.
Like, 100%. Like, my man put that motherfucker through years of torture for a person who can never die. And yes. Legend says that motherfucker's still alive, just dying repeatedly.
Again and again and again. It's right there. You know, it's just like, you know, I feel like Naruto, it's like a bittersweet thing right now for me, like looking into it. Because I feel like there was a lot of, like, narratives that they didn't even really get to shed a light on. Like, you know, what happened to the Uzumaki clan and village and everything? Like, there was a clan that had their own village. Like, that's crazy. And so for all the different types of, like, you know, nations having to, like, you know, like, literally, like, had to corner them and, like, kill them off, like, that way. And for the Lee Village to just kind of just let it happen when they had, like, most of the strongest people there, you know, it was kind of weird to me.
Okay, you know? Well, about that, see, yeah. I was one of them nerds who actually read the light novels and the little guidebooks and shit.
Well cultured man.
Hell the fuck, I wouldn't be a nerd if I wasn't gonna do that, like, be honest. Yeah. So basically with the Uzumaki clan, mm-hmm. the Leaf Village, you know, kind of just killed them all.
Oh, really?
Because they were kind of the strongest clan mm-hmm. ever. Because mm-hmm. not only do they have, like, the little chains and shit, mm-hmm. they created the Reaper Death Seal.
Oh yeah.
So they found a way to contact Death himself and take you out.
Uh-huh.
That is very, very much a problem.
Oh, really?
And not only, they can heal themselves just by biting themselves. Like, you've seen Karin fucking letting Sasuke get a little, you know.
Yeah, dude, yeah. And they don't really put too much emphasis on her being Uzumaki. Like, now, like, when they say someone's an Uzumaki, they just kind of lightly describe it. Like, how they say, like, Nagato, like, was an Uzumaki and everything. Yep. Like, I remember when Toby, like, literally just say, like, yeah, now you saw your Uzumaki in your hair. And I'm like, he was an Uzumaki the whole time? And you just said it over. Like, that's a big deal. Exactly. That's basically Naruto cousin right there.
That's what I love. We can't just, like, brush past that, like, that wasn't just said.
Yeah, no, and then, like, well, it's Nagato and fucking Karin. That's two. Who, and, like, obviously Naruto's mother is, of course.
Kirishima.
Yeah, and then Mito Uzumaki, the first Ninetales, the Jinchuriki, and everything. Yeah, so it's just like, yeah, like, there was a couple and everything. I know the one, then the picture, like, the elder of the Uzumaki with the white hair, Ashina Uzumaki, I think was his name, or something. The older guy and everything. That
yeah,
was,
I
like,
know who you talking about.
Yeah, standing next to, he was standing next to the first Hokage and that one.
Ooh,
yeah, I forgot his name. Yeah, called him Ashina, I think, but I looked deeper into it. And it was just like, you know, I feel they could have really shed more light on that. Like, I feel like instead of just skipping forward to Boruto, they could have, like, either skipped, like, backward to those times, kind of see, like, what was going on, like a little Chronicles type series, kind of like shed some light on the Sarutobi clan, the freaking Uzumaki clan, stuff like that. You know, like, I want to learn more about that. Like, what was the world looking like before that?
No, see, the thing that got me kind of pissed off,
yeah,
because they were actually gonna do that. They was gonna make a little, like, a 4-episode spinoff with Minato as, like, the main character,
okay,
but do a huge deep dive in all the other clans and shit. But they canceled that shit. So
they
should have
won with that. They should have won because those people were still kind of established. It would have gave them more time to even, like, you know, kind of rethink the whole Boruto thing. Because it's just, I don't know. I feel like for some people, like, they're really getting into it and it's, like, getting, like, but I don't know. It just kind of turned me off. Like, a couple parts of it is just, like, you know, like, you got this kid who's supposed to be the child of Naruto who looks like a carbon copy of Naruto, which is, I know over time he still, like, develops, like, certain adjustments and everything, but it's like, you know, with Naruto's kids, I thought, like, they would look more like, you know, Hyuga children, you know, like, you know, the eyes and everything. I know Himawari kind of takes a little bit more
of her mother,
but it's like, you know, it's just like with the blonde hair, blonde ain't even, like, a dominant trait. Like, exactly. It's just like, you know, but that's just one thing. And, like, you know, the second thing is just, like, you know, with well, just the way how they kind of set up with the gadgets and everything, making chakra and everything like that,
that's the dumbest thing I ever
saw.
Like, for like 2 seconds, I was like, oh, what the fuck is that? Motherfucker just catch the scrolls and be like, bing, Rasengan. I'm like, hey, hell nah.
Yeah.
It takes, like, niggas years to fucking master Rasengan, and only two people master that shit in, like, a week.
Yeah, no, for real. And it actually meant, like, something when they did it. Like, you actually saw their struggle trying to do it. Exactly. And plus, he's like, you know, Naruto was a win-release style. Like, that was his natural. That would kind of make sense, you know, for him to, like, go for a week. But it's like, even on top of that, with the whole Naruto situation, it's going to the route where it's like, you know, like, they're reincarnations of gods, basically. And then it's just, it takes out the whole work hard and stuff like that. When they kind of took away, like, the more militaristic side of things and everything in favor of, like, you know, for, like, more just, like, okay, I got everything on now. Or, okay, I got all this power now. Or, okay, I got this power up now. You know, like, that's just, you know, like, it kind of took away from it, you know, for everything that I really liked the series for. Like, okay, you have this whole military organizations, through, like, ninjas and everything. Well, they didn't have guns or nothing. They had to use jutsu.
And swords.
They had to use strategy. They had to use summoning. There was so many different ways they had to master certain types of, you know, like,
oh, chakra natures.
Yeah, chakra natures and everything. You know, like, that's what made it intriguing for me. Because I'm like, oh, snap. By the end of this series, this dude, Naruto, is going to be, like, you know, one splendid ninja. When I think about a splendid ninja, I'd be thinking, like the third Raikage.
Type,
you know,
shit.
Like, because he did shit. It all. It did it all type stuff. Like, that's the apex when I think about it. You know, or, like, even with Jiraiya, with, like, he, not only did he do Rasengan, he had the toad summonings, of course, and then it's just, like, the dragon flame bombs and everything, stuff like that.
Fucking mud walls, the fucking, yes. The shit he did on fucking Itachi when he first showed up.
Yes, like, there were so many different techniques that they were just doing, and I feel like Naruto just never got to really learn anything outside of Rasengan. It was just,
and
like,
Shadow Clone Jutsu.
Yeah, Shadow Clone Jutsu's dope, Rasengan's dope, and when they work in unison, you know, like, the Shadow Clones kind of help make the Rasengans faster. That was pretty dope and everything.
And
but on
learned
top of
the
that,
Flying Raijin, too.
Yeah, Flying Raijin and everything. You know, I feel like if Naruto would have just did some stuff, like, learn more wind-based attacks, like how, like, you know, like how Danzo did all those, like, wind bullets and everything, like, that would be a good counter to, like, you know, fireball jutsu and shit like that.
No, I swear to God. You know? And that's why I always like fucking Sasuke better, because his arsenal is way greater than Naruto.
Yeah.
Naruto has three main jutsus that he would constantly use. Mm-hmm. Sasuke has the fucking
Chidori,
Karin, the fucking Chidori jutsu. The spear, mm-hmm. the shit where he, like, created a whole fucking field of lightning just out of nowhere.
Yeah,
then he fucking Not only he also has the Shadow Clone Jutsus, but on top of that, he mastered fucking both the first, second, third, and Mangekyo Sharingan.
Yeah,
and he utilizes them to their maximum capability.
Yeah,
and then when he got the internal, he went crazy once he got the fucking Amaterasu.
Yeah.
I'm like, hell fucking yes, do that shit. And when he fucking clapped the fuck out of Danzo, I was so happy.
Yeah, dude, Danzo was a scumbag.
He was a, oh my.
But I feel God. Like we missed out on, like, having an evil Hokage, too, with Danzo. I would have liked that they stretched that out, like, a couple years, you know what I'm saying? Like, a time skit type stuff. For, like, because it would have given Naruto a sense of just, like, oh, wow, like, if I really have to become Hokage, like, I'm really going to have to clean some stuff up. Because it wasn't just Danzo. Like, the third Hokage, second Hokage, even the first Hokage, they made mistakes that was, like, affecting the village to the present. So, like, it wasn't about just, oh, we're going to find peace. Like, you know, it becomes more complicated than that.
Exactly.
So it's just like, what compromises I'm going to have to make as a leader? Like, what am I going to have to do, like in terms of just relating to other villages? You know, what if somebody comes up and, like, they become a Kage and, like, they don't mess with us? You know, what are we going to have to do? You know, because it's like money, power, resources. These are real life things that we have to deal with, even to this day.
Exactly.
And everything that affects even our relationships with other countries and so on, which are even the different type of leader. And we got, like, 4 years of peace, you know, in between. So it's just like, and things are quick to change. So it's like, you know, it's just like, I just really would have liked to see that part of, like, him being a Hokage, or him, like, rising up to be an Hokage. I hate that the fact that he had to be a genin to be a Hokage and everything, because, like, you mean to tell me this dude didn't do nothing all those years to study? Like, you know, it's just like, come on, he's not a moron to that degree. It's like, we try to make, like, oh yeah, dumb shounen main character, like, oh yeah, that's related. Like, it's really not. It's like, bro, you really didn't get your shit together. Like, you're the strongest in the village, but you didn't like to read. Like, come on now.
See, my thing is, right,
yeah,
I felt like Naruto did not have to, like, take the tuning exams or the, like, the getting exams when he
skipped
fought fucking.
Skipped it.
Like, this man saved the village not once, not twice, but three times.
and mastered a Joning level technique when he was just a Genin as a kid.
Exactly.
Like, you know, and it's just like, that's like one of the biggest plot holes of even the Chunin exams, because it literally came down to only like a small group of people every year, but there's multiple Jonins and everything. Like, there should have been like a graduate school for Joni.
Exactly.
Like a little GMAT. You know what I'm saying? Just something on the side you can do to like become a Joni that doesn't result between like being, having to go to the Chunin exam and like being a Chunin, like doing all that. You know what I mean? Like, there should be multiple ways to become something besides one type of way. You know, and that's just kind of how I saw it. But it's just like, you know, between like, you know, between Naruto never really just between Adonzo not becoming that evil Hokage to kind of show like, okay, the corruption of the village is something we need to work on, and just, you know, like, you know, plot holes are just like, you know, how the Chunin exams, like, are there any other ways to become a Chunin? We never got to really see that. We never got to see, like, you know, really go to deep of history of like the Uzumaki clan and all the older and during the Warren State period. We kind of get a glimpse, but not like a full, you know.
Right.
And it's just like, there's just so many missed opportunities and everything. And it's just like, you know, it's just like, you know, I love that world and I love the world building and everything. But it's just like, you know, where are we at? It just makes it hard to kind of invest to that degree. So it's
100%. Like,
yeah, but we could talk about this all day, but it took like a big ass chunk out of the interview.
I swear to God.
My apologies for that.
You're good.
All right. But swinging back to you, Mr. Sage, and everything, because you say like you like Oreos and everything. You just love Oreos, and that's part of your name as well, too.
Okay, I like Oreos, uh-huh. But my old wrestling coach gave me the name Oreo.
Oh, and why'd he call you Oreo?
So I forgot to eat lunch one day, and I remember I had a big-ass pack of Oreos in my bag, like deep in, like, in the practice room, all the way in the back with my bag. Uh-huh. I snuck away to eat some. Uh-huh. He fouled me. He was like, Oreo, get your fat ass in here. It's not my fault you didn't eat. Now come run these laps. I'm like, ah.
Oh, wow.
From then, everybody and their mom still fucking calls me Oreo.
I respect it. I respect it. That's a dope, like, origin story, really, and everything. And so when it comes to, like, athletics and everything, you pretty much, how long were you invested into wrestling? Because, like, that's really dope. Like, people who wrestle, like, long time, like, they can fight, one, and they know how to move their body and everything. So, like, did you get really deep into the whole wrestling sphere and everything?
Okay, yeah. Yes, I did. Because I only did 2.5 sports growing up. I did wrestling, baseball, and cross country.
Okay.
I only say half because with cross country, I only did it for like 2 days and I quit.
Oh.
So.
And what about cross country? Said like, nah, that's not my shit.
The running.
You're just like, nah, man. Yeah. About to go home, give me another pack of Oreos, man. This is bullshit.
Exactly. I wanted to be a fat ass, but, you know, I was a skinny ass nigga. So I had to, like, you know, get a little meat on my bones. So with wrestling, I put a little bit of weight on. I started hitting the weight room. I ran. I started conditioning myself. And that shit actually helped me a lot moving forward. Because then when I took all that and went to baseball, I would hit these dangers.
Oh.
It was crazy. I had a good arm, but horrible aim.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can throw it as far as you need me to, but I guarantee you it's going 30 yards to the left or 30 yards to the right, never straight to you.
Oh, yeah.
So I had to work on that. Mm-hmm. But my fucking swing was so good, I just missed it low-key. But that's neither here nor there.
Okay, that's dope. That's dope. So it's like you're growing up in New York, you grew up in Brooklyn, correct, and everything?
Halfway.
Halfway of Brooklyn. What parts of New York do you stay in before coming to Charlotte?
Okay, so this is a whole deep dive. All right. Well, welcome to the geography of Oreo the Sage, guys.
Okay.
So first, right?
New segment.
Born in Bed-Stuy, which is in Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, dope.
I stayed there for like 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. Moved to South Carolina because my family got a divorce.
Oh.
So I lived with my mom for a little bit. Then I ended up moving back to New York when I was like 11, 12.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed there for like a year and a half, moved back down to South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up finishing the rest of high school down there.
Mm-hmm.
Then I ended up moving to Brevard, North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
For college.
Where's that at?
You know where Asheville is?
Oh, yeah.
It's like borderline an hour away from Asheville.
Oh, okay.
It's like all the way in the mountains.
All right. And you had all 4 years over there?
Hell no.
You didn't want to be there?
Hell no.
just wasn't your vibe?
Like it was good at first. I made a lot of long time friends and family there, but they kept hoeing me. So I was like, you know what? Fuck this. And like I went as an art major.
Oh, okay.
And like I am the type of person who incorporates everything that I love to do in some type of way. So I love to do music. So I would incorporate my music into my art. It got bad to the point where my professor was like, you know what? Maybe you shouldn't be an artist. Maybe this isn't for you. And I really hurt because I spent like my whole life drawing, getting ready to be an animator, doing all this fun shit, making cover arts for everyone. That's just to lame. Be told, yeah, art's not for you, bro. I was like, oh, really?
You should have went to an HBCU.
I should have. But I didn't.
They would have encouraged you. They would have did whatever they could to ensure what got you locked in with someone else. You know, like, you seem like somebody who would like fit in at H. Because I went to NCCU and everything. They had a bunch of black interns and everything there in anime.
Exactly.
It was dope. Like it was really. It kind of blew my mind when I got there. How much like really you know, be at an HBCU and everything.
Shit. Yeah. I wanted to go to Benedict.
Benedict.
Yeah, because I went to C.A. Johnson for like 2 years. Mm-hmm. And that's the high school we're close with Benedict. Mm-hmm. And I was in the drum line at the time. So I spent a lot of time with their, you know, band and drum line and their campus and their homecomings. And they came to our homecomings a lot. We would always go back and forth. Mm-hmm. So I was like fully planned to like go to Benedict until we moved deeper into South Carolina. And so that's like in like the Bluffton, which is like the closer Savannah area. So I ended up finishing high school out over there. And I went to like a predominantly white school. I was like, all right, bad. But it's cool because I have two good-ass friends.
Uh-huh.
Like, those are my brothers, Sean and Donnell.
Shout out to y'all.
Shout out to y'all. Y'all my brothers to the day I die. I wouldn't, like, we I feel like we started, like, this music journey, but me and Donnell kept it going. Sean went to a whole different avenue. He's good with graphics. He's good with, like, creating just random shit. He's just nice with it. Donnell, my brother, he has the vocals of a fucking angel, and I hate the fact that I can't sing like him because I envy that shit so bad. So whenever we both hop on songs together, we both be like, all right, so you want me to go, like, 50?
Like, bro, it's not even my final form.
Exactly, type shit.
Well, such a flex.
So I know, shout them out. But that they were like the greatest things that happened when I moved back down. And then of course I got friends in New York. Shout y'all out. I don't know. It's like everywhere I go, I meet new people and they become family to me. Homie Ron. Like, within the second to third week of me moving down here, I met Ron, and we became, like, borderline brothers. This motherfucker drives 45 minutes every other day to see my ass.
That's dope.
And, like, that's a real nigga right there. That's my brother right there. Shout out Gucci Ronnie.
Hey, this is another chapter in Bermuda and Liberia's fuck with each other, bro. I don't know why we just stay connected. That's just how it is.
It'd be like that.
Yeah, that's just how Liberians are, man. Like, we'll give, like, an arm and a leg, bro. Like, we'll come through and everything. Like, we'll support and all. And although, like, our country is just kind of like, you know, like, we're still trying to figure things out and everything.
Right.
But at the same token, it's just like, yeah, that's just kind of how Ron is. Like, even when I saw him, like, literally at Audio Box and everything, I'm like, oh, wow, okay, there's somebody I know here. So it's like, it makes it easier to just kind of blend in a little bit more. So it's just like, just stuff like that and everything. So it's just, you know, like, he was pretty supportive of me, like, on social media as well, looking through my stories and everything, responding. And we just kind of see each other around and everything. I saw both of y'all at Trey Rhodes, Charlotte Spark, and everything. And what was the experience getting to there?
Actually, kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So during the audition process, the only person who ever seen me perform is Prophecy.
Oh,
shout out Prophecy, that's my guy. Mm-hmm. He seen me perform my little ass off at one of his events.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, "Hey, you should audition for this." I was like, sure. So me and Ron, we came, we auditioned. It was like, you know, you can do better with this. You can do better with this. We'll see what happens with the next audition. Mm-hmm. Then I come back to the next audition. It was like, okay, I see you got better with this, but you're lacking in this. Like, you gave a little bit more energy there. We're going to get back to you. So the third and final audition.
just kept coming.
I just kept coming. I was determined like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Then he was like, all right, honestly, bro, you didn't need to come again. Like, you was already in. I was like, oh, why didn't you say nothing? He was like, I thought you would have known. But besides the point, turns out I was a saver artist.
Uh-huh.
So he was like, I don't care who the fuck didn't make it or who the fuck makes it. You need to be here. Because my showmanship is like fucking amazing.
That's true. That is true. Like when I first saw you perform, I'm like, oh wow, this is dope. I wonder how long you've been doing this. It's dope. It's like everything. So it's just like, yeah, like you have a really like unique sound. But as I see like little sense of like Childish Gambino a little bit there and everything, would you say that you were influenced by Childish Gambino's song?
Yeah, I was influenced by a lot of people actually. Yeah. See, one thing that people got to understand that I can't stay on one thing for like a very long time. That's just my ADHD ass personality.
Same.
That's why I love jumping to like different genres all the fucking time. Mm-hmm. Like I can jump from like a Shmino type of vibe to a Childish Gambino vibe to a fucking Alicia Keys vibe to a fucking Trey Songz vibe to a Brent Faiyaz vibe. And so on and so forth. So I'm like very versatile, but I love it because it just gives me more range to do what the fuck I want.
Yeah.
It helps me feel like in tune with who the fuck I really am. Mm-hmm. I feel like I have a lot of flavors just like ready, just like to give to the world and be like, hey, okay, here you go. You like Afro? You like Afro?
Yeah.
Bam. Obvious, there you go. Yes. Yo, yes. Shit. You like rap? I can't really do that well, but I give you what I can do. Bam.
That's fine.
Oh, you want singing? You want R&B? Like my manager, Blake on the boards, mm-hmm. That motherfucker is trying to make me just do straight R&B. I was like, look, I'll do some R&B.
Yeah.
Just not a lot. Mm-hmm. And I did this one R&B song with my homegirl, Lulu. Shout out Lulu Soul. I love you, sis. And we did this song called My Faith. And that was one of like the most like proud fucking moments I have when making a song, because watching that come together with Lulu, because all of them are in New York. So remember that I'm the only Charlotte like artist down here that are connected with them.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's a lot of New Yorkers here though, just want to let you know.
Yep. I know but you know, just doing that just makes music for me a lot more, you know, entertaining and a lot more like enjoyable, because music is almost everything to me, if not that.
And your experience of working with Trey Rhodes and everything and like performing at Charlotte Spark, how would you describe it in the experience?
I think it was fun. I had a lot of fun. I got to meet a lot of dope artists that I've wanted to like meet in person for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It was Mental, Spaz, Jaden, shout y'all out. Y'all are amazing. Because mm-hmm. I just finished a song with Spaz, mm-hmm. like not even 2 days ago.
Yeah, I had Spaz on the podcast. He's dope.
As fuck. Then we have Mental. I did his 2000s track. Mm-hmm. And me and him went stupid.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He's cool too. I'm about to get him on the podcast tomorrow.
Oh,
so
hell
two people
yeah.
You know are going to be the podcast tomorrow. Just like that. Extended universe.
Exactly. It's just, and watching everybody like perform, mm-hmm. I was intrigued because everybody had like something that like made them stand out. It wasn't like just the same old trap, like rap, all this other, you know, oh, kill this, shoot that, drugs, sex, money, gangs,
yeah.
No, it was like personalities just like just flourishing for everyone to see.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I got to be a part of that was fucking amazing. So shout out Trey Rhodes. Shout out DDA Tank or DD Tank.
DDA Tank, you had it right.
Yeah. And shout out Prophecy, because without y'all, you know, a lot of people wouldn't like seen me in that, you know, element in Charlotte. So I'm really like thankful for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm really loving how like we're really like creating a community and everything. Like we're starting to get familiar with each other. We kind of see each other around and everything like that. Even like you saw me at Audio Box, I was like, oh wait, no, this is the same guy I met long ago. Like you already followed me and everything like
tight,
that.
Tight.
So it's just like, you know, like I feel like that really kind of gives me a whole lot of optimism on like what the future has for us and where we can go, because I feel like now we're starting to recognize exactly, you know, like there's a lack of infrastructure and everything, and it's been like that way for a while. So now the people are really trying to take their first steps and actually doing what they got to do to actually not only build their brand, but also network and build the connections and actually make sure that they are well-maintained as well. Yeah. You know, it's just like, I've been meaning to have you all since I, like, first saw you at the thing and everything, and now here you are. And I literally saw your audio box just a couple of days ago and everything. And, like, we could have a whole conversation about anime and stuff like that. It's like, we always know each other, that type of stuff.
100%.
And it's just like, you know, I'm going to do my due diligence on my hand as well, you know, with the whole playlist situation and everything once I get it updated and so on. But it's just like, yeah, man, like, there's a lot that you could pretty much, like, get from starting in a city like Charlotte, even though, like, there's a lack of infrastructure and everything. It's like, you know, like, you're really starting to really mix in, like, people who are really trying to work to really put the city on. And, like, this is, like, the genesis part, you know, like, you know, we ain't got the exodus part, we ain't at the other part, we ain't opening, we're not trying to, like, open no Red Seas or nothing like that. But it's like, you know, but it's like, to know that your face is, like, amongst those and everything that are really trying to set the city up, you know, that would really, like, you know, have you, in a sense, grow synonymously, like, with the city and so on. So it's just like, you know, so, like, would you see Charlotte as being, like, a city you want to stay in, like, for long term, or are you just trying to pass through?
I plan on moving, like, for, like, a good minute.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like since I came here, my music, you know, has gotten a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, just the growth in general is amazing. Because I came down here at, like, give or take 500 followers. Now I'm at, like, 950. I'm like, holy
shit. Hey, doubled. Like, we're doubling up. Almost 200%. Let's
exactly.
Go.
So I feel like being down here, like, increased my chances. But I also learned a lot about performing and dealing with promoters and shit. Like, there was this one shady ass promoter. like I cannot fuck with him. He at all. Like, after half the shit that I done seen him do, I immediately blocked and cut that motherfucker off.
That's all right.
But okay. You know, I'm thankful for that experience, because now I know what to look out for in like the long term.
You live and learn, and this is a good city to live and learn too, because there's nothing but a lack of infrastructure around. So just knowing that you kind of seeing all these wrongs, like, someone's gonna make it turn, like, right, man. You know, I feel like I commend Trey for actually doing what he needed to do to actually set up the Charlotte Spark and everything. Hopefully one day, if I get everything situated, I'll, like, to sponsor as well, like, you know, the Mental Thoughts podcast and everything, because, you know, Trey, that's the homie and everything. I respect what he's been doing for a while, and to know, like, you know, people like you and Trey, like, y'all actually are not, like, originally from the city and everything, but knowing that you actually chose the city as your city is your city, you know, just like that. So that's just kind of how I see it. Like, I'm not conservative with stuff like that and everything, because there's so many people moving here anyway. So it's just like, so, like, the kind of exes y'all out would just be just kind of ludicrous, because that's, you already relate to most people here anyway. Most people aren't even from here.
Exactly.
So just like that. So it's just like, you know, we're still the underdog city and everything, you know. So it's like, once we win an NBA championship and maybe, like, an NFL championship, that'd be pretty dope too, to kind of put the city on. But I feel like we, like, us working also kind of helps build, like, our personality as well. So
100%, 100%.
So it's like, you know, in between moving between New York and South Carolina, and even, like, even in Charlotte, I mean, what are, like, some key differences living in all these places, you know, or some things that stand out, or, like, what are some, like, you know, pros and cons between all these different places?
Easy. Weather plays a very, 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 did I say very, very?
Yeah, you said very a lot.
Yeah, a very huge role in it. Like, when I moved to Brevard, that shit was cold 98% of the time.
Oh, really?
Like, the first year, we got snowed down, like, very hard. Mm-hmm. So classes was shut down for, like, half a month.
Oh.
Like, and you had, like, everybody rolling down on fucking snowboards around campus and shit. I'm like, God damn. Tight shit. But then, you know, I came back to South Carolina. It was hot as fuck. I was like, God damn. Then I moved to fucking Charlotte, which is, like, extremely bipolar ass weather.
Yes. Bipolar, like, is definitely a word.
Yeah. Yeah. But New York is, like, it's always cold. And you do have, like, a good bit amount of time where it's, like, warm and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's warm, it's, like, hot. If not, it's just cold. It's never an in between.
It's either hot or cold in New York, basically.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. And like in terms of like relating to people and everything, like people go outside more in New York and everything compared to Charlotte and South Carolina.
Okay. Actually, I see more people rolling around in Charlotte and New York. I feel like New York, because that's like the one of the biggest tourist spots on like where we like live technically. So you have a lot of people just roaming around. It's like overly crowded. But down here, everybody's doing something. They getting their bread. They doing what they need to do. They just living life.
Oh, okay.
So I say both New York and Charlotte.
Okay, dope. All right. So it's like, you know, obviously like going into your hobbies and thing, anime is a part of it. But like, what's another hobby that you have outside of like anime and stuff?
Oh, I like to draw a lot. Like I make my own cover arts. I make cover arts for other people who ever want to tap in. I make like cartoonish, anime inspired like cover arts.
That's dope.
No matter what. Then I play a lot of video games too. Like that helps me like sane up a bit. And then, you know, talking to my girlfriend, you know, a lot of the time we be vibing.
Talking to your girlfriend as a hobby is such that's a flex.
Like that, like it kind of is. Like for me, having her in my life right now, it makes everything better. She's actually pushing me to do a lot of shit. Like when it comes to like this content shit that Blake be on my ass about, she like, "Oh, did you post? No, do that, and maybe we can keep talking." I'm like, "All right, tight shit." I'm like, "Did you eat?" Nah, I bet. I'm hanging up the phone to you. You were like, hold on. I'm about to go make some food right now. I bet. But she's like the one, like, you know, female in my life who's ever like truly pushed me to like record. She knows how like I can get rusty and how I can like just fall out or something. But she like, "Ooh, try this. Okay. Record something like that. Or try this kind of style." She like challenges me too. So I'm like, okay, like a song that I just posted on my Instagram page not too long ago called Air Candy. She was like, "Ooh, make it like a Shmino type song." I was like, "I'll give it a try." And like the beat was fire. I'm listening to her and we were like, "Yeah, this shit vibe." So I'm like, I was like, okay. "You're like your candy to me. You're like, the fuck you mean? Come try it. I bring you ease. Don't believe it. Come with me." Yeah.
Okay.
Part of my attention. To the phone, to the kitchen. We plotting on dishes. You, I'm dishing. I'm coming in hot. Hey.
That's nice. Okay. It's already on Spotify and everything?
Actually, not yet. I plan to release it like either next week or the week after.
Okay, dope. All right. I won't be able to put in the closing credits for this episode because it hasn't been released yet, but I'm pretty sure there's plenty of songs and everything because, like, when you're a performer, you do give off, like, a Smino vibe and everything like that, like, with your songs and your sounds. What are some songs that you, like, really, really like and everything that you would just be like, or that you would that you would definitely recommend to really get to know Oreo the Sage?
Ooh, that's actually a good question. I have a few. All right, so one song I have, Static. I made that when I was like finding like the style I wanted to portray as with my genre, and that like became like a like the first stepping stone of that. And I really like that song. I gotta listen to that more often. Then you fast forward, and I made this one album called Mental Changes, and that like shows off my versatility. So I'm hopping on like pop punk songs, rock songs, indie vibes, pop, R&B. That's down a third, and I would advise you like listen to that at your own discretion. then accompanied by that, I have Colors of Perk. The one song, no, two songs I recommend you listen to is what's it called? Yeah. 2 minutes till I'm banging on you all. Yeah, 3 a.m.
Okay, that's what it is. All right.
All right, and you got love if you depend on me. Damn, I forgot. Well, y'all can retrace the stats back to that song. I forgot the name for real.
I'll be sure I'll find it. Okay, that's the one he
used. Oh, Attached Red. Attached Red.
That's what it's called. All right, cool. No problem. Okay, so he has a lot of songs. And now he's at that point where he has to actually, like, hum the songs out until.
Yeah,
like,
my God. I have too many. But, recently I dropped my EP. It's like the first EP with all original beats.
Oh.
And I got to work with Blake and my producer on this for a good 3 months. And it was amazing. So having that out, yeah, shout out y'all. Shout out motherfucking Daza. Daza on the beats. He is my fucking producer. That's my main man. We be geeking out. He's a one person who understands me in my music choice. But if anything, Don't Wake Me Up and My Faith.
Oh, okay. That's dope. All right. I'll be sure to swing back and really review this episode. I got to write those down and everything and be like, okay, I got to look up these songs and everything like that for sure and everything. Okay, that's dope. Yeah. All right. So it's you mentioned and everything, just to swing back into your background. You mentioned that you are your family's from Bermuda, on both sides?
No, my mom and her family is mainly from Brooklyn, New York.
Okay.
My dad and his family's from Barbados.
Oh, Barbados. Okay, Barbados.
I get the best of both worlds. So I get island and I get crazy. So
you get island, you get crazy.
So I guess it's a good little combination there.
Okay, I know. Well, how would you describe would you call them Bajan? It's Bajan, right?
Yeah, it's Bajan.
Yeah. How would you describe the Bajan community in New York? It's not too deep here in Charlotte, right?
More deeper there because there's a lot of Bajan shops.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there's one on 4th of Flatbush or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. And it's this Bajan bakery.
Oh, okay.
Me and my dad would stop there every day whenever he had work and he would bring me with him.
Okay.
It was so good, so different. I advise y'all to try a lot of Bajan cuisine.
Oh, okay.
That shit is good as fuck. It's like Jamaican food, but slightly better.
Is it spicier?
No.
It's just better. No. How would you say better? It's more savory?
Yeah, it's more savory and flavorful. Because, I feel like it's, a perfect balance between, savory and spicy. Jamaican food is, mainly spicy with a shit ton of fucking flavor.
Uh-huh.
So you want to enjoy it, but your mouth going to be burning for, a good 40 minutes.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't get that inclination with Jamaican food because I'd be getting the oxtails with the rice and beans and all.
See, you played it safe. You played it safe.
Yeah, it's just okay, so I played it safe then. That's
Once you get some real red snapper fish straight off the grill, have what's this shit called? I'll remember that in a second, but once you fully dive in, you got. Damn.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. I'll keep in mind. Maybe I need to look it up myself because, Liberian food and everything. We have, Jello fries and everything. The cornbread. Yeah. You try both of them and everything.
Well, I still want to try fufu. Ron, stop playing with me. When your mom make fufu, you got to save me a plate.
I know
a place. You ducking me, bro. You know a place?
Yeah. Y'all can go to a restaurant. It's not too far from Northern Charlotte. It's not too far from where I stay at, actually.
Hey, write this shit down, Ron.
I'm gonna send you the information. Yeah, it's called Zanzibar and everything, and they be having little brunches here and there. But it's basically if you go to Zanzibar, you can order what I like to order from Zanzibar is fufu and goat soup. It tastes delicious, bro. It's so good.
You cheering like you have not been gatekeeping for me, bro. You don't put your goddamn hands down.
I don't know, Ron. Did you ever been to Zanzibar before?
Nah, but my mama loves it.
Oh really? Yo, really? Your mama going there too?
Yeah, bro.
Okay, dope. All right.
You'll be going tomorrow.
Okay, yeah, it's a dope spot. Or you can get some fufu and pepper soup, which is just with pepper soup and the goat soup is just it's a fufu with just goat soup. But with the pepper soup, they have they got crab, they got all types of chicken, they like to mix it. Well, the soup, they just mix it with all types of meats and stuff like that.
Tight.
But my mom makes a fufu sometimes she'll make it put lamb into it or she'll put one thing that's crazy is a snail. Snail is really, really good. Well, I tell people that, be like, what snail?
Y'all fucking them Gary?
Yeah, we're fucking up Gary. We're fucking up Gary, Mr. Krabs, freaking everybody.
That's crazy. You know,
but it's really, really good. I remember I actually had snail, and it was, like, on some potato greens and everything. And potato greens ain't even my favorite, like, dish, but I'll eat it and everything. And they had it at my aunt's house. So I'm like, what is this? Like, oh, yeah, that's snail. I was like, this is delicious. And it's just like, that's not even my favorite type of dish. I killed that dish, bro. And now they'll put it, like, fufu. It gives, like, a distinct taste. Like, it's really, really good and everything. But I won't gatekeep you from if my mom makes them, I'll be sure to let you know and everything.
Slide me, just save me a plate. I'll swing by and grab it.
Yeah, man. If y'all pulling up the Zanzibar, let me know. I'll pull up, too, and everything. I can't have no fufu or nothing now because I'm currently fasting. I'm waiting until my birthday because my birthday is like February 14th. No, February 15th. Well, I forgot my own birthday.
Why is all our birthdays so close?
Yeah, I'm an Aquarius. So what are you?
A Pisces. I'm March 12th.
Oh, March 12th. What about you, Ron? March 19th. Okay. So you're like a Pisces too? All right, cool. My mom's a Pisces. She's something else. But it's all right. But yeah, it's a good spot to go. Like, you want to try some Liberian food and everything, West African food. They also, what else do they got? They got a bunch of other stuff too. But it's like, that's mainly what I be going there, just for the fufu and soup. They know me right. Like, oh yeah, that's the goat soup, man, right there.
Pisces.
Yeah, so it's really, really delicious. Very, very spicy. And it kind of goes ups and down for the spice. You kind of get something different every time you try it type stuff. But it's really, really good. And like, what are some Bayesian dishes that you would recommend and everything?
Damn, that's a good question.
So I'm gonna be in Miami next week. Maybe they might have some Bayesian.
Oh, not the Miami moves. Damn, where's my dad when I need him? Because I don't memorize the names for real.
Okay, well, they be eating a lot of rice and everything like that.
I mean, of course, rice just goes with everything.
It really does. Like, when I was a kid, I was kind of like, whatever with rice, but I'll eat rice. Like, exactly. Nah, like, it just goes good.
It's just a staple.
Yeah, no, seriously. And so it's like, well, like, when you eat like Bayesian food, like, it's like kind of like similar to Jamaican food. Like, maybe y'all got oxtails too. Like,
yeah, we do.
How
we
would
do.
You describe the oxtails in Barbados?
Same.
They're the same.
Same. Because fucking Barbados and Jamaica. They're borderline the same thing, except our patois is like, I want to say,
it's like laid back.
Oh no! What? Actually, yeah.
Yeah, because I know, like, when I heard, like, one time I spoke to a guy from Barbados and, like, Walmart, and he sounded just like, I thought he was Liberian and everything. I'm like, I know he's Liberian. It's like, no, I'm from Barbados. And I'm like, what, y'all sound just like Liberians? Like, y'all guys.
Shit crazy.
Yeah, like, because, like, there's a lot of, for people who don't know, a lot of people from Barbados relocated in Liberia. So it's like a lot of our presidents were actually, like, married to Bayesian women. So, like, a lot of, they're, like, half Bayesian. So it's like, yeah, we're close like this type stuff and everything. Tight. We're basically like Uzumakis and Senju. Basically.
Yeah, type stuff. That's actually funny because at my big sister's wedding, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure she married a librarian brother.
There you go. You already had the cookout.
Shout out to Tara, I love you. Mm-hmm. I got to see like my Uncle Andrew and Uncle Adrian, mm-hmm. my grandmother. It was funny. Because I remember, this was back when I was in college. Mm-hmm. I flew all the way back to New York for this. Uh-huh. It was a good-ass time. I got to see my, like, that side of the family again. Mm-hmm. Except I had, like, a little problem with my flight. Uh-huh. So my flight got canceled somehow. So I had to, like
that.
So I had to tell my dad, hey, I'm stuck for a little bit longer. And I didn't know how to tell him that. Because mm-hmm. I can't anticipate what my dad would say. Uh-huh. And I'm like, hey, pops. And my Uncle Adrian was like, all right, you gotta be clear with your father. Da 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 da. Then my Uncle Adrian tuned in was like, no, you gotta be scared, you gotta da da da. And my grandmother was like, come on, Arian, come on. You can't, the worst he can say is no. And half the time I don't know what the fuck they saying. So I'm like just piecing everything together. I'm like, oh yeah, yeah. Then dad comes around, I was like, what's wrong? He was like, so I'm stuck for a few more days. So I'm going to go, you know, kick it with Anthony. He was like, all right, go ahead. We figure this out later. I was like, oh, dope. Okay. Oh, also, shout out Sub YO. He's my big brother. Anthony, I love you. He is taking over Staten Island. Something serious.
There's a large Liberian community in Staten Island.
I'm already knowing. Tap into his new EP and tap into one of my favorite songs by him. Damn, what's that shit called?
Sorry.
Damn, I feel so
just
bad.
Just hum it out, and then you'll remember. Just start humming it out. But keep in mind, we got like 10 more minutes, so I'll let you know.
Damn. See, okay. I promise you, I know the song. I'm having the biggest brain fart.
It happened. Shit. ADHD, bro. That's how it be, bro. Like, I know it, and you probably won't even remember it till you're at Walmart tomorrow. I'll be like, dang, that was the song.
Exactly. No, because I hate myself. Because, like, we was just jamming to it in the car not too long ago.
You'll find it. I'm sure you will.
Oh, in the mood. In the mood.
Yeah,
find it. Oh, my God. Yes. Save in the you. Mood. One of the hardest songs you've made. And I watched this man make a lot of songs. Like, watching his process. Like, going to New York and watching his process was one of, like, the greatest influences to me. Because, like, I used to do his cover arts.
Oh.
And I still do.
Nice.
But, like, when I first started out music, I was ass. I was like, hey, you'd be willing to do a song with me? He was like, bro, we family, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed in his apartment for, like, almost three days. Mm-hmm. And we started working on our song. And at first, it wasn't our song. He just threw on a random beat to, like, get warmed up. And he starts, like, freestyling a whole song right in front of me. I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh, okay.
Because you start hearing, like, melodies and cadences that, like, most people wouldn't, like, you know, go for. Mm-hmm. And I'm, like, mesmerized at this point. Like, I want to be just like that. But with my own twist. So as years progressed, I became just like that. Okay. And I'm like, oh, hell yeah, we up.
Okay. All right, was he Liberian too? And everything? I know you were speaking about the whole Bayesian Liberian cookout and Mary and everything.
Oh, so no, that's like my actual brother on my dad's side, so he's Bayesian too.
Oh, okay, dope. And when, like, your sister married to a Liberian man, why didn't they serve fufu there?
They had jollof rice, and that's all I remember.
Damn, and they ain't got no fufu. I'll be like, you can't have no wedding without no fufu.
Look, I don't know.
We'll make it happen.
Like, I don't know.
That's so crazy.
Right. I just wish.
That's fine. But it's no problem. I'm your plug, so, like, now you know where you can get your fufu at, because that's where I would go. Sometimes my mom don't make some and everything. I would just pull up there and everything. Get, like, especially, like, when you're sick and everything, too, it's good to pass by there, because the spices from the fufu and everything, it literally, like, it'll cut them down. See, he knows. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. He's pointing. So it's like, if you have a cold, definitely, like, pull up. And also, to help with that cold, you could probably put a little bit of lemon juice, not too much, just a little hint into it, to kind of help fight whatever you're trying to, like, fight internally. And everything just for
the motherland ingredients.
Let's go. No, seriously, man, that was the food of the warrior. That's what we would eat and everything before we go into war. That's what was explained from my family. So it's just like, you know, I don't know if it's different, but, like, I just want some fufu, like, type shit and everything. So it's like, all right, well, connecting into, like, your Bayesian side and everything. Have you been to Barbados? Like, you be there pretty often?
No. Actually, we having a family reunion sometime in May, I believe.
Dope. It's going to be in Barbados?
Yeah.
Oh, dope.
So I get to meet my, like, grandfather for the first time, which is pretty interesting.
Your grandfather's grandfather?
No, like my grandfather, like my dad's dad.
Oh, okay. I thought you said, like,
I've never met that man a day in my life.
Oh, wow.
And from what I hear, like, the relationship wasn't, like, 100% peachy.
It happens.
So, getting to see that side would be interesting. I don't know if it's like, oh, these are my kids, rapper, singer, rapper, artist, influencer, hairstylist, pops, we made it without you type shit. I don't think it's going to be like that, but.
How many siblings you got?
Me, Naya, Yanni, Kevin, Chloe, Mari, Atera, and Aiden, Amani, 10.
Oh, 10. Oh, wow. Okay. All right. That's dope.
My dad's a player.
It happens.
Well, was a player. He's happily married now.
It happens. It happens and everything. Well, I mean, that's a feeling. That's a dope. That's how my grandfather was and everything. Like, the thing is, the family reunion to be big. And, you know, it's just like, you know, it just creates bigger bonds, like, you know, with your family, like, kind of feel like it's like a community. Like, get to think, like, maybe 2-3 generations from now and everything, you'll probably have enough relatives to, like, literally, like, fill up a whole town or something. So it's like, you know, come out of, like, 10 per each and everything, that's like 100 right there. I'm not saying you should shoot for that. I'm just saying.
Don't trust me. 2 kids is fine with me.
and that would still be 20. So it's like just exactly. 20 grandkids for him. So it's like if it was for each. Yeah, and everything. Since we're going into like the end and everything, we got like probably like 5 more minutes and stuff. Do you want to go back to deeper? It's just like, so like, what are you currently working on right now?
Oh, so I'm not gonna lie. I'm in a phase where I'm trying to tap into like the Afro scene.
Oh, nice.
So I'm working on a lot of Afro beats, but I wanted to blend Afro beats with like my style of R&B and pop.
Okay.
So that's gonna be fun.
Okay.
And it is fun.
All right. Just to keep in mind for pointers, you should definitely listen to some of Drake's songs, you know, especially on Views and everything. He did a lot of like Afrobeat mixes and everything. Just kind of get like a little bit of inspiration by that. But also you should check out like a couple of like, you know, African cookout artists. You know, let me just tell you, like Magic System, Premier Gao. There you go. He knows. I was just listening to I'll send you some links, like Premier Gao and everything. That's the one good.
Please.
There's a little playlist in there I could possibly send you and everything so you can be able to listen. Because that's like raw African, not like the modernized Afro beats and everything. That's the stuff we've been listening to, like the cookouts and kids and everything type stuff. He knows. And Ron's just in the background. He's going to be on a future episode. He's just listening and everything. But just stuff to really kind of help, you know, really give like, you know, like, a little bit of a stretch, so you know that's a good way to kind of get ahead in terms of like really like learning to dominate like a genre. It's really just to look at its roots and everything. So yeah. Afro beats, definitely got to check out the old African cookout playlist.
Send
and
me a playlist after
for sure, like Mia Way and everything. So it's just like those are really really good people to kind of check in with, even though you might not understand what they're saying and everything. Lucky. But just like the vibes and just like, you know, just how they dominate and just the feelings that they convey. That's a good way to really check in with music as well and so on. And, you know, going into the future, what's comes in the future for Oreo the Sage? Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Ooh, big. I see myself, like, big enough where everybody knows me. I'm making a consistent fan base. I'm touring. I'm doing shows. But not too big where I'm going to have paparazzi on my ass, like,
yeah, I want to be like J. Cole. I want to be so in the cut.
Exactly. I want to be rich, but like low-key rich, like humble as fuck rich. Like, yes. You ain't going to see me like flashing. Like, because if you see me now, like most rappers and artists, they like drip down like chains and Gucci and all this other shit. I'll just be chilling in a flannel, a t-shirt, maybe a hoodie sometimes.
Hell yeah.
Wearing some beat up fucking trainers and fucking Vans and
Chuck
shit.
Chuck Taylors and shit.
Yeah, facts.
Pumas are really nice too.
I fucking love Pumas.
Yes, they're so comfortable.
As fuck. Like, I don't, like, y'all gotta stop hating on Pumas. And I fuck. Yeah, because my dad got me into wearing Pumas.
Yes, I need to get more Pumas too, man. I had these two pairs of this pair of Pumas and everything I wore for a photo shoot, bro. It felt like spaceman shoes, bro. Like, it's like I didn't want to run in them. I didn't want to crease them and everything. They were just like, bro, like, yeah, talk about Jordans and Nikes and everything. Y'all sleeping on Pumas and stuff. So it's like that's pretty much where you see yourself, just kind of like a low-key successful person and everything. All right. And where do you see yourself, like, for Charlotte? You feel like you're going to stay here for like a decade, 2 decades? They're just going to pass on through, move back to New York?
Maybe depending on how big I end up getting. There's like a couple places I got in mind. Like I may end up moving back to New York, but that's like a huge, huge question mark. I think I want to
just stay here for a little bit, just kind of grow a little bit as an artist and everything.
God chose Charlotte to like lay my roots in. So just to watch myself flourish from here is cool. Once I get big enough to be like, okay, that's my hometown type shit, I'm gonna visit, do shows, show some support, show some love. I know I'm definitely gonna give back to the community. I'm not gonna be like, I'm gonna be like, hey, I wanna donate to like this foundation, help young artists find their voice, help young artists in general, like, find a medium and help them in their medium, like, just donating art supplies, music equipment, this, that, and third. I want to be very heavily involved and just watch everybody flourish. I feel like everybody has a sound. Everybody got a voice. Like what you hear in a lot of Jamaican songs, we're lions, we're prideful, we have a sound, we're unique. We just got to hear us roar type shit.
Yes.
So shout out all my lionesses, all my lion folk, I fuck with all of y'all. Y'all family, no matter what.
Yeah. And shout out to all the Bajans, all Liberians across the world.
Tight shit.
And I just want to say I thank you for choosing Charlotte and actually making this your home and everything, whether if it's temporary or for long term, you know. We're real glad to have you here. You know, you're really making the most of it while you're here. And I'm glad to see you, and I'm really proud and excited to see where you take this music thing, all right?
Thank you.
And that's it for the Mental Threads Podcast, episode 184. I got to keep remembering. We're sewing in and we're sewing out.
Hey.
Great to have you on. All right, that was dope. I was low-key kind of scared in the beginning because it was like we ate up like 20 minutes talking about
anime. I swear to God.
I was like, God, niggas won't.